I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant View Rangers podcast. My name is Colin McDuff and I'll be your host as always. Tonight I am delighted to be joined by the wonderful Graham Campbell. Graham, how are you this fine Thursday evening?
I'm really good, Colin. Thanks. How are you doing?
All the better now that you've brightened up my international break week. It's a bit of a slog, these fucking international breaks, especially when they're every 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, they do seem like they're coming around quite a lot just now. But, you know, I do get told I brighten up a lot of people's international week, so it's good to hear I'm brightening up yours too.
It's uncanny how often you get told that, I'm sure. It's... So, Graham, got another wee history tidbit for you. But before I tell you, I'm going to give you a bit of a quiz question. Can you name the three Rangers players to have scored a hat-trick on their debut?
Well, I'm going to guess Colin Steen.
Because I told you. Colin Steen. Can you name the other two?
Oh my God, on their debut? God, you put me on the spot. Are you going to give me any clues here? Or am I just purely guessing? Because I would guess maybe somebody like Sam English might have bagged a hat trick on his debut.
No. Two very prolific strikers.
Ali McCoist? Really? Wow, there you go.
And who's the third one? I mean, I'd be very surprised if you weren't at this game. Well, I'll put you at your misery.
I mean, you've not caught me in the best mind. mindset for guessing here. My mind's just totally gone black. I would rather not guess and embarrass myself by a line of questions and guesses than you just put me out of my misery.
Right, it was Chris Boyd.
Of course. Well, yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, probably was at that game. I feel like I was quite drunk a lot when I was younger though.
Well, you got two out of three ain't bad as the song goes, mate. But the reason I was leading with that, I think that's a fairly well-known fact that Colin Steen scored a hat-trick in his debut, and obviously, probably more famously, he scored one of the goals in the 3-2 win over Dynamo Moscow in 1972. What a lot of people might not know is that he actually scored 8 goals in his first 3 games for Rangers. So obviously when he signed for Rangers from Hibs for a think it's £100,000 or something. Aye, £100,000. Fucking massive figure in 1968. He made his debut at Ibrox in the league against Arbroath, scoring a hat-trick. A week later, he scored another hat-trick in a 6-1 victory over Hibs. A few days after that, he scored two away to Dundalk in the Fairs Cup. What a fucking start to your Rangers career. 8 goals in 3 games, Graham.
Unbelievable. And again, I can't emphasise it enough. Me personally, it does annoy me probably how, I don't want to say little I know about Rangers history, but probably the in-depth things, just the nice, cool facts like that. And that's why I love these wee tidbits, just things that I didn't know. I didn't know Colin Steen scored 8 goals in his first 3 games. Yes, of course, I think we all know Colin Steen scored in Barcelona in 1972. Colin Steen scored 1, Willie Johnson 2. But do you know what? It's just the finer details of Rangers history. I'm always eager to learn and educate myself on. So I love it. And that's, I guess I can't be surprised though. As you say, prolific, one of the greats. And that's a great bit of history.
And again, for more details, there's a couple of articles on his start to the Rangers career. I'll post them in the episode description, the show link, on Apple, Spotify, Acast, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, many more. But anyway, back to current affairs then, Graham. As we said, another international break. We've got another one starting next month as well. But second international break at Disney. I don't know. I feel this would be a good time for a break if we didn't have that first one so early on, because you're 8 games into the league. You've had a few games in Europe. You've had the League Cup. So it probably is a nice time to almost, like an almost revision point, or a wee breather for domestic football. I know best case scenario we would never want a breather for Rangers, but if there's going to be one, actually seems a more sensible time than the first one, didn't it?
Absolutely. I think what we'd said before, actually, the second international break, I don't know, there always seems to be something about it that's treated almost like a milestone of the season, or we're into the second international break, where are we sitting? Maybe it's a bit different. As you say, there's international breaks all over the shop just now. I've got to say, nobody enjoys international breaks. We all want to see Rangers and go and watch Rangers. However, going into this one was a hell of a lot more enjoyable off the back of that massive result against Hibs. And it's a lot easier going into that knowing you've got a break, chance to regroup, maybe get some other players back to fitness, working some things in the training ground with the ones that aren't away in international duty. It can be a big deal, but going on that off the back of an awful result or a loss or a draw where you've dropped points, but the fact we're away, we're doing it, we're top of the league, we're in the semi-finals of the League Cup, it's been a solid start.
And that's what I mean with it. Like, I think I totally agree with you. It's a bit of a milestone because the season is starting to take shape. Like the first international break, we were only about 4 games in. But now we're 8 games in, and the table is starting to take shape in every league. We're into group stage football. We're into the fucking going into the semi-finals of the League Cup. You're starting to see it's not just a good or a poor start. You know, you've had a chance to either recover or drop off that run of form or maintain that. What you said there about finishing on a high against Hibs, laying at the top of the table. So, 8 games played, 19 points, a point ahead of our nearest challengers, Hearts, who remain unbeaten. For all we're talking about, it's been a very very stop start. A lot of the performances have been very stop start, and we've lacked a bit of fluidity, lacked a bit of form, lacked consistency, especially compared to last season. We're only a point behind where we were this time last year. Taking the emotion out of it and looking at that table for that point of view, I think you need to say it's an excellent start to the league.
100%. I think a lot's been made about our performances not being at the level we want them to be. Then upon reflection, looking back at some of the performances we had last season, some of the results I'm going to use the word scraped, I guess, narrow wins or late wins, big games where we didn't perform great, but we then got the win out of it. I guess that's kind of how we've started this season. And look, the important thing is we're winning. I think anyone would take that over performance. If the performances aren't there and we're not picking up the 3 points week in, week out, then yes. Is that a crisis? Yeah, whatever. I get it totally. We get put out of the league gap or we don't make it into Europe. That is one thing entirely. The fact we're getting by, we're getting the results. And I really thought that last half an hour against Hibs, I thought we did kind of get that spark back. We're up moving the ball with speed in and around the middle of the park, out to the wide areas. I thought, yeah, you can talk about 10 men, that doesn't matter. We know from experience that playing against 10 men sometimes doesn't mean everything, especially going back to recent against Malmo, doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win. So that was a very, very big result, a massive result. And I think going into the international break off the back of that, it's got to spread confidence in the team. And I really hope that coming back, we talk about being 1 point against ahead of Hearts. That's going to be a tough game. But let's face it, we're 6 points ahead of Celtic. They are going to be our main challenges. I don't think Hearts Abs will split us this season. I think getting as far away from them is we're going to win the league if we're ahead of Celtic, not Hibs or Hearts. No disrespect to them. I just don't see them maintaining it. Could be wrong. We've seen it in the past, though, where they make a good start and they don't maintain.
No, I totally agree with you. I think you need to be honest and admit Hibs and Hearts can be dangerous this year on their day, because they do, like maybe 1-11, maybe 1-13, they've got decent squads this year, and they're both playing fairly well. I mean, I think Hibs were maybe even arguably the form team in the league coming into that game. I don't think that's too unfair to say. I think Hibs are a stronger squad, but they don't have the strength and depth to last a full season, I don't think. So it is going to be Celtic that are the nearest challengers. I mean, hopefully best case scenario our nearest challengers end up 20 points behind us like last season, but I still think it'll be Celtic.
Totally agree, but listen, hopefully we're not all proved wrong after all this time I've been out of the Champions League and we have to sit and watch Hearts and Hibs straight into the Champions League group stages next season. I think we'd all agree that would be an apocalyptic event if we had to watch that, but God, probably shouldn't say that on a recording. I can just see that being played back to us at some point, laughing away, and they're in the Champions League. I mean, it would be horrendous.
Oh, fuck. Aye, and I don't know. Maybe you and I need to be a wee bit careful with what we're saying. Obviously, last time you and I spoke was before the Sparta Prague game, and we're like, I know what. A draw isn't a complete disaster, you take it, but we need to go and winning, and fucking hell. Rangers were poor that night, very poor.
Yeah, and I think after that I said, you know what, I think that's the last time I'm going to be optimistic on this podcast, because at some point Rangers are making me look like a dick. And we weren't great. However, again, we weren't great, but we lost a silly goal at a set piece. Other than that, probably would have been quite a dull ground out result. For me, I think people are talking about we need to take 6 points. I think we just need to take the 4 point just. We need to take 4 points against Bromby in the next two games. It's all about matching what Sparta have done, and that's obviously getting a point away to Bromby. So I think minimum we'd be looking at 4 points. Obviously, at the start of this, we'd be looking at 6 points home and away against Bromby. But let's not count chickens. We just need to get that spark back. If we do it, and we do it in the right time, I think we would be in a position where we could get a minimum of 9 or 10 points out of the last four games, the way we're capable of playing.
And that's the big thing, the way we are capable of playing, not the way we have been playing, and they're two very different ends of the spectrum. I think maybe 3-4 weeks ago, we'd maybe be looking ahead to the Bromby game and thinking, you know what, Rangers, as a fan point of view, Rangers turn up and they'll get the 6 points, but the way Rangers have been playing, it's not a gimme. 4 points, even 3 points isn't a gimme right now. Rangers do need to perform better in the league and in Europe. I think the difference is, and the difference has always been, when Rangers switch off, they get found out in Europe. We've seen that in some of the sloppy goals and thrown away leads over the last couple of years. Again, we always go back to the Benfica games. That should have been 6 points. They ended up with two. So I think, I definitely, Rangers, just what you said there, Rangers need to get back to even 70 or 80% of their capability, and then we're going into the Bromby games with a lot more positivity. Rangers are a hard team to come up against in Europe, but we were the second seed for a reason. When we got drawn out of that pot, nobody would have fancied coming to Ibrox too much. Maybe Lyon, they're maybe a tier above what we've played in Europe under Gerrard, but Rangers on their day, a fucking hellier team to play in Europe. So we just need to get back to that.
Absolutely. And I think that's the main thing to remember, that we've got Bromby and Sparta still to come to Ibrox. And I'm telling you, I don't care what anyone says, I have seen a lot better teams than Lyon come to Ibrox. I really do think that the teams we've played in the last three seasons, some of them have been better than Lyon. I know they've got some good players, I totally get that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or be naive. I just think what I saw at Ibrox, if we had a team out there playing to our capability, we have more than enough about us to get a result against them. I genuinely think that we can, and we will. We've got a Bromby team who are, I think, mid-table in Denmark. Sparta, I don't think I saw anything that would make me worry about them. Ibrox, I think we should absolutely have enough about us to get that. And we should be going to Copenhagen and winning. And I want to add as well, obviously, absolutely buzzing that, you know, there's trips going to Copenhagen. It's good to have that away fan element back. And I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, I've applied via the travel club for the day trip this time, but going to Copenhagen, that'd be brilliant. So if you're booked up and stuff, enjoy it. I think it's going to be a great city, and fingers crossed we get 3 points out of that one as well.
What a trip that would fucking be. What a trip that would be.
A bit expensive, I'm sure.
So what are you putting, what do you put this down to? The poor performance, and I don't want to say the poor start to the season. It's been a poor start in Europe, but in the league, is, again, we're sitting top of the league. We're on 19 points, but it's domestically and in Europe, we've not played anywhere near our best. We've had spells they've shown the same form as last season, and it's really been inconsistent collectively and individually. What is this, Genghis, is just a come down off of last season, or are you putting it down to just form, or is it just, I don't know, what are you putting this down to?
Probably all mixed in together. I mean, look, I trust Stevie G more than anything in terms of handling our team, our club. If he's saying there's just maybe a wee missing spark here or there, or he's leaving it down to the players because it's down to them to sort, because we all know it's not going to be down to the coaching or the anything like that from that side of the club. It will be to do with the players, and whether it is just, as you say, a come down from last season, potentially that would be disappointing, especially when, yeah, we got 55 last season, but our cup showings were pretty poor. So we'd want to push on and get an even better season silverware-wise. So that would be disappointing if it was the come down aspect. Maybe it is just, you know, your last season, I think a lot of better players and big players played better consistently at the same time. I think this season, where a couple of boys have been off, we've been picked up by another couple and vice versa, and that's maybe happened through a couple of games. So we've maybe been fortunate that at least a couple of players have always had pass marks, so to speak, in games, and that's kind of saw us through. So I think it's just about us collectively getting to that level that we want to be in. I really don't have any doubt we'll get there, and I get people's pessimism about it, and I get people's worry about the performances. It's totally valid. 100% is that valid. But we've got to believe that, you know, we'll peak at the right time.
I think I think everybody knows this isn't Rangers having their peak of the season. Rangers are going to go on the up because every football season there will be peaks and troughs, and this is very much a trough. And having the output we've had when we're going through a trough is fucking phenomenal, really. And if we are going to up the game and peak, then it is quite exciting looking at the run of games between now and Christmas. One thing I want to ask you about, and this was quite a talking point at the end of the transfer window, and I think as a podcast we were collectively agreed that we were happy with the squad come the 1st of September. For me, I'm not going to change my stance on that. I'm still very happy with the squad we've got and the players. I think it's form we need, no new signings right now. I totally get it. Maybe one or two additions coming in January, but that's natural every season. I think it was 2 weeks ago, Gerard mentioned in the press conference how little money we spent over the last couple of transfer windows. That kind of annoyed me. I think if you're ever going to air any frustrations, you shouldn't wait till a run of games, 8-9 games, where you've not been playing at your best. I think if you're going to air the frustrations, you air it the 1st of September.
Yeah, I'll be honest. As I say, like anyone and everyone listening to this podcast, we all love Steven Gerrard. Absolutely love him. His passion and reaction after that Ibs game as well in the pitch was brilliant. Absolutely amazing. Loved it. That is the first time I have been really quite annoyed when he went out on to the press and thought that we need to spend money. I get that. I do, but I'm a bit confused by what he actually expected to happen. I get we want to spend money, but we have a squad that we actually kept together. The core important players we did not sell. And I really genuinely still feel that we had a very successful transfer window. I honestly think it was one of the best we've had value-wise, business-wise, for years. Lundstrom, who I think we can all agree is now really starting to bear fruit. I think Sakala really looks like a handful. I think a good run in the team, I think we can all agree again, he does look like great business for a free. I just think we need to calm it a wee bit, and I think he's obviously been a bit annoyed, probably some of the questions he's been asked in the press, things he's had coming up in all angles, and maybe he's just kind of lost that wee bit and spoke. I think he spoke out of turn. I don't agree with what he said. I get you need to spend money, but the core of our squad that got us to the last 16 of the Europa League in the last two seasons, you're telling me suddenly, because we'll not spend money, we lose the first two games in the Europa League group stages. That, it just kind of, I think he's just frustrated, and I think it showed. I think that's the first time maybe, just in front of the press and the cameras and whatever, he's just let it slip a wee bit. I think we were, and I agree with you, I was a wee bit annoyed. But we'll move on from it.
Aye, but in hindsight, I think it's now, it points to show that he was feeling the pressure. And it's not the worst run he's had as a Rangers manager, but this is the first time he's having to maintain the fucking top dog level. And questions being asked off the back of 55. So now seeing what we've seen, it looks as if he was under pressure. Maybe that's why he was speaking out of turn or reacting to the press. And I think the reason I say that with hindsight, that reaction against Hibs that you mentioned there, that was just an absolute release of energy that he'd been building up over the last few weeks and getting over to getting into this milestone top of the league. That's when I noticed he's been feeling the pressure when he was just ecstatic after the Hibs game.
There's absolutely no doubt what you're saying is true. Look, see, me and you have grown up Rangers fans. Rangers are absolutely in our heart. We bleed blue, all that. Everything, everyone that listens to this will be the exact same. We absolutely love and adore our football club. It's without doubt the most unbelievable club to support.
Everybody listening, apart from the Tims listening to try to be offended, get up here.
Gerard is now, like, he's been here, this is his fourth season, he's been here 3 and a bit years, he's starting to get real passion he's already spoke about his love for Rangers. So I can only imagine how I'd feel with these sort of questions, and if things aren't going the way you want them to, because the passion you have for the football club, you're going to lose it. So I'm not sitting here and holding it against him in any way. I'm just saying that's the first time I thought, oh, that's a wee bit annoying. I don't know, a wee bit. I think the board have backed him spectacularly. I think this board, what they've done for our club in this specific piece of time in the history of our club has been exceptional, has been unbelievable. I think that's why me personally, I got my back up a wee bit, because he was having a go and I think he's been supported. And you're totally right, I think it is frustration. I think he let it all pour out in the middle of the pitch against Hibs.
And I find the club's official Twitter tweeted Unity after it with that picture. And it's, we said this last season from I was about to say for the terraces, but it wasn't for the terraces, it was for the living rooms into the onto the pitch and the backroom staff up and down the club. There was a feeling that we were all in it together, an understanding that has still carried into this season. I think that showed in Sunday as well, just what Gerrard felt was a relief that all of us felt as well. You know, it's just getting over the line. We know we're no at our best, but still getting over the line. And you've seen that with Balogun, Goldson, Barisic, Patterson, all having the same burst of energy after the game as well.
The Unity thing, I know we've kind of went with it for a while now. I love the Unity thing. I love the Unity tagline. I love everything about it. And Gerrard spoke in that press conference after how throughout this whole season, the players, the staff, the management, the fans, we all have to have each other's back. We're all in it together. And it is totally right, because we're not all going to get it at once. We're not all going to be on the same page all the time. But as long as we're there for each other together, and I totally felt like, do you know that way sometimes, we'll all know it, sometimes you come away from Ibrox and you're like, atmosphere was maybe a bit flat, or whatever, we weren't amazing today. It was just, Leon, I felt that a bit, it was weirdly flat. I don't know if anyone else felt that, but Hibs at the weekend, I thought we were absolutely there. We gave everything to the team on the part. We do 9.9 times out of 10, we absolutely do. We are phenomenal support, but what he said really resonated. Just we're all in it together. We all have to have each other's back, so to speak. And he's completely right, and we do. We absolutely do. And I just think we're at a really good place as a club, where the fans, the players, the staff, the board, there's no disconnect. I would like to think we can speak for everyone in terms of the fans are absolutely behind the board, the management, the players. Like, there's nothing more disgruntled about in that aspect, other than just that final kind of final piece of the puzzle on the pitch just now. But we're still getting the wins. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
I think it's definitely... And it's hard to find back pre-2012, because it was so long ago, but I feel it's the most I've ever felt connected to the club, and having that same wavelength on and off the field between supporters as well. Obviously, there's always got to be fucking gripe points. Like, I'm still very anti my jersey. I fucking hate it. There's people moaning about tickets. You're never going to have... And Graham's giving me the wanker sign, shut up. You're never going to have a full, a full population that's happy with everything. Fucking life doesn't work like that. But it's definitely, by the by, on large, the most unified we've been. Easy. So, Graham, we mentioned the League Cup. And more importantly, the performances in the Cups last season as well. 55 was always going to trump anything that happened, but we were all disgruntled, unhappy, upset, whatever you want to call it, with how we were put out, both the Scottish and the league last season. I think maybe apart from the last half hour in Hibs, our best performances so far have came against Championship side Dunfermline and the second half against Livingston in the League Cup. I'm glad we're putting these performances in. We're now in the semi-finals against Hibs. That'll be a very, very tough game. I think for me, the League Cup is massive this season. A, because we've no won a domestic trophy under Gerrard bar the league, and over three seasons, it's no been anywhere near good enough. And B, the timing of the League Cup, I think it's huge. I think if we talk about milestone points, if we can go in to the second half of the season with a trophy already under our belt, I think it lifts our team. I think it lifts our club. But it really puts a throat on any competitors, whether that be Hibs, Hearts or Celtic or Aberdeen or whatever. It will put the foot in the throat of them. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree, of course. I think that winning the League Cup, the first team to do it, always sets down that marker. There's absolutely no doubt. In my genuine opinion, like, you look at the last couple of seasons, right? Celtic 2019, where they, say, robbed us in the final, to be perfectly honest. Absolutely destroyed them that final. How we lost, never know. And then St John's went in 2020, both going to win the other cups. I just think it gives you that momentum. I think for our squad, it would do even more in terms of belief and just for Gerrard to win that first cup. Because that is the important thing, getting the cup. And for us not to have won, it is horrendous. For us not to have won those cups in over 10 years is just, it's horrendous. It really is. That is some knocks. 55 is, and always was, the pinnacle. But to not have been at Hampden lifting the cup, I mean, either, is just somewhere where absolutely this season is a must. We must win a cup with that league, whether it's a double or treble. I think all of them podcasts going by mentioned the quadruple, maybe that's a bit unrealistic. But I think at minimum we all want to see a league and cup double this season, minimum, and a strong showing in the Europa League.
What you said there about St Johnstone and Celtic going on to win the league or the Scottish Cup after winning the League Cup last year, I think it's so spot on. It's, I think Alex Ferguson used to always speak about it down south as well, how the League Cup was important because it gives you that, gives that team that belief, that bounce, whatever you want to say it. And when I was talking about there, puts a foot in the throat of your competitors. Just look how Rangers reacted after that. I don't know, fucking people call it the Fraser Foster Cup final, but it should have been the Ryan Jack Cup final. He was amazing that game, and Rangers were the form team going into January, and you know that might have been part of the fucking implosion that we had in Dubai. Just that, you know, regardless of how well we were playing, we couldn't get it over the line. So it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
And the finals in the 19th of December this year. I don't want to be overdramatic.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But it'll absolutely make a break Christmas. Christmas tree's going to either get hauled down and just lights off, it's done on that 19th of December, or it's just going to be the best Christmas.
Well, either way, my Christmas show will be done on the 21st of September.
So that, aye, so there you go. Like, the presents that you're going to buy, people are going to be a massive difference between us winning this cup and not. I mean, people are going to end up with shite, and I know you probably buy shite anyway, but lesser shite.
I might even wait to the Boxing Day sales and just jump in here. No CMD and Christmas, jump in here Lush and get all the fucking half price bath bombs from my mom that night. You know,
Lush is a classic. If you've not desperately made your way into Lush on Christmas Eve in Glasgow, then what are you even doing with your life?
I actually used to work with a guy who every year without doubt used to wait to the 26th or the 27th, jump into Lush and fucking just buy all the following years. Like, we added on presents for his wife, his daughters.
That's how we do it. What we probably should point out is, despite plugging Founders Trail 2 podcasts ago, this isn't a plug for Lush.
Oh, fuck. There goes next week's interview. Okay.
And we're on with the CEO of Lush today. Love the Rangers.
Presenting a new Rangers bath bomb.
I would have thought Castor's already best anyway with that one.
Oh, jeez, I know, man. Fuck, that's like, I really hope we don't end up in the Conference League for obvious reasons, that we'd want to be playing in the Europa League, but at the same time, Castor are going to release a fucking Conference League range, aren't they?
Absolutely, yes.
Just on that, so we were talking about we need a good showing in the Europa League. We don't want to be in the Conference League. We really don't, even though we've probably got a better chance of fucking winning it, but at the same time, financially, for the status it brings, all that shit. I've heard about a chat around whether you would sacrifice Europe just for getting the league over the line this year. I think your universal answer is Steven Gerrard won't do it. He'll go in and win every game because he's a winner, and that's what you need to be as a Rangers manager. As a fan, would you want to see that?
Forget Steven Gerrard. As a fan, we are Rangers. We're a winning club. I want us to challenge for everything and anything we're in. I wouldn't accept that. So yes, if life worked that way, would you sacrifice Europe for the league? Yes, for Champions League automatic entry. Yeah, probably. However, life doesn't work like that. I want it all. I want to go for as much as we possibly can. I want to see us play as strong a team at every single game. 1,000,000%, absolutely, no doubt.
And there's no guarantee if you like play a beating team in the Europa League, your stronger team's going to go and win on the Sunday. It doesn't work like that either. There's no guarantee in it. And you're right, as a fan, I get the rational argument that like what's more important, what you should put your energy into, but it's not a rational thing. It's not an emotional thing for on a football team. So you can be as logical as you want with me, but if we play Real Madrid again on the Wednesday, I'm fully expecting not a fucking into these shower at Shite Rangers.
Can I just say as well, I think, and I always say this, this is what separates us from so many clubs now. We sit up here in Scotland, we look down England for the League Cup, and I think they all play weekend teams in the League Cup, especially when the provincial clubs do it, so to speak, the middle of the table, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, why wouldn't you try and win every bit of silverware? This whole wrestling players are pure rotation. I've never understood it in that sense. And even though we have rotation and maybe in the cups, we're never sending out a team packed with youngsters or something that we think. We're always sending out a team that we know is going to be good enough to win that game, because winning cups and silverware is what we're about. We're the most successful club in the world. Of course, that's what we're about. That's what we're always going to be about.
No, absolutely, and that's what you see week in, week out, in Ibrox. And I'm not going to knock MD for that argument of sacrifice X over Z, blah blah blah. But I guarantee there's absolutely nobody showing that emotion. If we're getting, when we were getting beat 2-0 against Lyon, for example, just like, oh, it's cool, the lead's an important one. It doesn't work like that. And we're not going to change as a support. We've always been like that, and we're always going to be like that.
One of the, really, genuinely, I reckon it's in my top five moments as a Rangers fan, as a 33-year-old. That League Cup win against St Mirren, 9 men, that ranks as one of the best moments I have ever had as a Rangers fan. I don't care what, if it's for the league, if it's the Scottish Cup, the League Cup, the Europa League, or the Champions League. Winning silverware is what we're about. See, that day, that was unbelievable. Everything about that was absolutely amazing. We want to win everything. We want to win every single competition we're part of. If we hadn't have won that day and walked away having losing down to 9 men, there's no way we're walking away from like, it's just the League Cup. That's not what we're about. So yeah, no, I want us to win everything.
Amen to that, brother. So let's talk about a few players so far this season before we start wrapping up. Who's impressed you the most so far this season? Who's been, I don't want to say standout, because I think it's really hard to pick somebody who's stood out all the way through, but suppose who's impressed you the most?
Honestly, me personally, Aribo. I genuinely, when I watch, I think he's probably played as many minutes as most within the squad. I could be completely wrong. I just feel like he starts most of the games, he's been on a lot. I really think some of the halves of football he's had this season within certain games, even though the games haven't maybe went exactly the way we want them, when we've won, he's, for me personally, he's been a standout. I think he's been in absolutely brilliant form. Just a wee bit of inconsistency slipped in, but in terms of skill and ball control and holding players off, he's got to be the best in our squad at that. I mean, the ball at his feet, it's that goal against Dundee, and this is what I was talking about earlier in terms of the big players and the big moments. That ball from Morelos and Aribo, that wee touch and that flick into the corner for that goal, and what was pretty much a poor game for us, yeah, McLaughlin pulled us out with a penalty save, but for me, Aribo has been really good this season.
I think that's why people get so frustrated with Joe Aribo. You can argue rightly or wrongly, but it's because what he shows he can do, it's unplayable. And then it's when it's maybe no going our way, or he's having an off game and he reverts back to type and it's the passes across the 18-yard line. And you can, there's a whole argument if he's doing that for 90 minutes a game, he's not playing at Rangers. I get that, but
Joe Aribo is the player where I've just said that and somebody listening is, what? Like, he's that kind of player, he maybe splits opinion for me from what I've seen, some of the things he's done, some of the games he's had, especially some of the maybe halves. It's just some of the inconsistencies. He's maybe had a couple of really class first or second half performances, but the first or second half in those games haven't maybe been where you'd want it to be. I just think he's such a vital player for us. He is one of those guys in our team that, in my perspective, is undroppable. But as I say, he splits opinion. I've no doubt there'll be people like, no, no way. That's all that's right.
That is. For me, I want to pick out two players and probably quite odd choices. First one, John Lindstrom, and I totally get he had a very, very slow start to his Rangers career. And it's only really been the last two or three games that he's really come into his own. But the other player alongside that, Steve Davis, I want to pick out as well. I think he's probably been the most consistent, even though he's featured a wee bit less than what he would have done last season. And I think without being spectacular, he's been steady. He's been that, when it's not been going too well, he has been that steady heartbeat, keeping things ticking over in the midfield. And And I think when he does do it, he does that for 90 minutes. I think we've seen that against Celtic when Celtic fans were pissing and moaning that he was on steroids because somebody at his age shouldn't be able to run that quickly in the 95th minute.
I don't buy and I don't agree with the whole Davis and Lundstrom shouldn't be in the same team. I don't buy that at all. I thought, and one of the things that I genuinely thought we were going to do against Hibs, because after Porteous's disgraceful challenge, they brought Scott Allen off, you could see that space in the middle of the park was clear as day. And I genuinely thought, even at half-time, I really expected maybe for us to bring on Davis, sitting in there and dictating play and dictating the pace of play. And I really honestly think that Davis and Lundstrom and Kamara, is that middle three, would work just as well as... I think they can absolutely play together. And at this moment in time, we can out as well. I'd like to see Aribo up in that front three area more as well. I was just surprised we didn't see Davis. Look, we won the game. And as I say, I thought we had our spark back, especially in that last half an hour, the way we were playing. But I was really surprised we didn't bring Davis on.
I totally agree with you. I don't want it to be Davis or Lundstrom. I do want them to be options in the midfield three. But I think that really depends on how quickly Lundstrom can get settled in the eight row or whatever. He's started to find his way, and the people call it six row. I'll call it the Davis row, because Davis made that his own for Rangers. He's found his way there and he's played very, very well. But Davis brings so much to that position as well. So I think if Lundstrom can adapt to our tactics, our style of play, because it is a lot to take in coming to the Rangers. We talk about the pressure, we talk about the fitness levels, but having to be tactically aware of what's going on around you as well, that's so difficult to get in touch with. But the last thing I'll just say is what you mentioned there about Davis only coming on at the end against Hibs. Some of it, and I get we were against 10 men and running down the clock, some of the passing play that Lundstrom, Davis and Bakuna were doing between them, but it was fucking beautiful. And it was just so natural and quick. And that's how I see Davis and Lundstrom being together.
100%. And Davis getting the last 10 minutes, yeah, completely surprised he wasn't. I know we're facing 10 men. It was unlikely we were ever, and like anyone sitting in the stands, I was like, yeah, I'd bring on Davis. I really expect to see Davis on. Let's get Davis on, dictate the pace of play, that middle of the park, or even just drop Hadji really in that hole or something, but we never really did it. And look, we won, so I'm clueless as always. So, but I really, yeah, I think Lindstrom has absolutely came into his own. And I think one of the main things is, bar the expectation of Rangers, which he wouldn't have had at Sheffield United, he wouldn't have had that amount of possession at Sheffield United on a game-to-game basis. He won't be used to being part of a team that has that much possession of the ball as well. And I guess that can be hard to adapt to. So I think with all these things coming into play, I think he's going to be really important. And I think Jack will struggle getting back into the team immediately as well.
Very good to see him posting pictures of his football boots. I'm presuming he's just no opposer, and that's signifying he's back at training. Very fucking delighted for him.
Yeah, I would hope he didn't just sprinkle grass on the bottom of his boots as a posing picture.
You never know, it may be a new Instagram footballer. I don't know, it might just
Who knows?
I'm no down with the kids. Last couple of questions. I'll not come at each player individually, but I want to ask you about the fullback situation. Tavernier versus Patterson, Barisic versus Bassey. For me, they're still two very clear first choice picks. It's Tavernier and Barisic. I think the gap between the first choice and the second choice for each position has narrowed. That's probably because the two first choice picks have dipped in form like the rest of the team, and for the most part, Bassey and Patterson have taken their chance so far this season. But I'm not really a fan of rotation for the sake of rotation, but I do like the idea that Tavernier and Barisic aren't guaranteed starters regardless of what happens. There's able deputies coming in behind them.
Yeah, I certainly don't think Tav looks at the game like I'm guaranteed to start or not. I think his attitude will remain the same regardless of what's going on. What you're saying might ring true more in terms of Barisic. He's been a bit inconsistent coming back from the Euros. So I think, yes, it helps having Bassi kind of chasing his coattails. I think we want to see it. It's just more about Patterson being getting that game time. Tavernier is on the verge of 30. He's not going to be able to do this, what he does, for a long period of time. We all want to see Patterson as a long-term right-back. Now is the time to start putting him into games and giving him a lot of game minutes. So in terms of the right side of defence, I don't see that as rotation for the sake of it. I see that as important development. I think Patterson's shown some really, really good and promising signs. And I'll say it again and again, you can really see with the way his game's developing how much he's taken off Tavernier on the training pitch, how much he's basing his game on that. And that's great. That's brilliant for us. And I think playing him in big games like that, in and out, is going to do them the world of good. And I think we all wanted to see Patterson in at least 10 to 15 starts this season. I think along the course, we'll see him in something along those lines, maybe. Whether it's the league, whether it's the League Cup, the Scottish Cup, I think we will see him getting at least 10 to maybe 15 starts this season. And certainly that amount of appearances. So, look, I think it's really promising.
I think, towards the end of last season, I remember a conversation. I think Scott might have been on the podcast and he was saying that he did say he knows it sounds daft, but he wants to see how Patterson reacts to a setback out with the COVID stuff, because that was a massive off-field setback. But he wants to see what his character is like. And that'll be really important. I really think he showed that on Sunday. He's got massive praise, rightly so, but I think it's only rightly so for maybe the last 30, 40 minutes. I didn't think he had a good start to the game at all. I think for the full of the first half, he was really unsure against Doig. He didn't know when to go, when to sit. He just wasn't himself. But I think it speaks volumes of his character and his ability to play in big games, that he played himself out of that slump. And the more the game went on, the better and better he got. Obviously, he got the assist for Roof's goal, brilliant ball in. But I think beyond that, he had a really good finish to the game. And he played himself into that. He didn't let that first half performance get him down. Because I really think he did struggle. And I don't think we'll talk about that enough. As a positive point, if you get me, that he's showed buzz.
Yeah, I don't know how much I agree with you in terms of first half performance. Was he as good as he was in the second? No, but I don't know if I saw that same struggle. But, you know, that's the thing with opinion. What is for sure is he was going to be hooked before that second goal went in. Tav was stripped the bench and the goal goes in and we stick with it. And I thought he was one of our standouts against up, yes, especially in the second half. But he's really maturing, and that's the important thing. Giving him 90 minutes in the big games, and that is okay. Well, we've played Celtic home, but realistically, in terms of pure challenge and who we're playing against, in form of a team unbeaten in the league, that was without doubt the biggest game of our season so far. Just in terms of the run up. Where we're at, how we've been playing, who we're playing, everything mixed in. Before the international break, the lot. The one thing that Patterson's got to contend with now is the fact he's in the running for international. Now, we all maybe aren't interested, some people more than others. Patterson wants to play for his country. And one thing I think he's got to contend with is the pressure on his shoulders when he gets put in games like this, because not only does he want to do well for Rangers, but he wants to play for his country. And a few weeks back when he was playing, I thought he was playing like somebody that was maybe trying too hard. And I think actually against Hibs, I saw him just take a step back and play his more natural game. And I thought he was pretty damn good.
Absolutely. And I think on top of that pressure, he will be held to a high standard for Scotland as well. It's obviously your Stephen O'Donnell's or whoever, no disrespect, but it's, you know, they're always reported and spoke about as Motherwell players playing for Scotland. This is a Rangers player representing Scotland, and with it rightly or wrongly or whatever, a higher standard, a higher expectation will go in with Nathan Patterson, for me, rightly so.
And look, of course, in terms of the international side, fullback position for Scotland is very promising in terms of Hickey, Doig. So he's up against these guys, so it would be easy for him to really let the pressure get on top of him. But I genuinely think that game against Hibs showed how much character he has. So I don't necessarily think we need to see a setback to see his character. I think we're seeing his character and seeing how he's performing under pressure. And I think he's going to be massive. I think he's going to be one of the best players we've ever produced. Obviously, maybe Ben Gilmore, who I think looks like probably one of the best Scottish players ever produced in half a century. But Patterson is really, he's going to be up there. No doubt, he looks phenomenal.
It's like Barry Ferguson come through all over again. And that's probably a lazy comparison. There's no very much more you can compare it to. And it is like a young Barry coming through again, isn't it?
100%.
So, Graham, that's getting us towards the hour mark. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners? Anything else you want to add before we start wrapping up?
Just don't ever spring a quiz on me like that ever again.
Well, you did say that you are quite annoyed about your lack of Rangers knowledge, so maybe that will make you get the finger out of your arse, start reading in case I pop another question up.
Do you know what? 100%. I just think that, me personally, I feel like I really could always learn more about Rangers and the real gritty detail about our history and everything and anything about it. I always want to learn more about Rangers, so I do. I love these wee tidbits, and I'm definitely going to buy that Founders Tool book, 100%.
That is the 150th anniversary edition, and the link to that is on last week's show as well. Well, that brings to a close. As always, thank you to everybody who's listening. Thanks for all the comments you leave. As always, even the guys in Follow who after the pre-Bronby show were saying we don't really share your optimism, and they didn't give me too much of a hard time in the comments after when our optimism didn't really come to fruition. No, the Bronby game is part of the game. But as always, let us know what you think, and
yeah, thanks for having me. I'm not on Follow, so I can only imagine my optimism being bashed at times. I'll maybe need to temper that going forward, but yeah.
But not just in Follow on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you get the links to the pods, let us know your thoughts. And thank you all for listening. We are the people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.